I'd like to say before we stand and read the scripture, this being Memorial Day, we certainly want to extend our love and appreciation to every man, woman who ever served in any of our armed services, who not only many of them gave their life for freedom that we enjoy today. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have the freedom to come and meet this morning. And that not only goes for those who have given their life, but for those who have offered their life and served well their country. And we certainly respect you if you're here and you have been in the services of our country. We respect you and honor you this day and thank you from the bottom of our heart for your kindness in doing so. We have a great country, folks. I know it's not what it ought to be, and I wish it was. And I want it to remain so that our kids can have it. But we still have a country where we can do this, and that's marvelous. We can still preach the Word of God faithfully, freely, and I'm thankful for that. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and this earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of even being able to read it here in this free country, in this church here this morning. Lord, the privilege is tremendous, and I thank you for it. And I ask you this day to help me, Lord, as I preach, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me, Father. Give me the wisdom I need, the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And help us all, Father, to be mindful of thy wonderful word, and when it's preached today, and Lord, when you're the Holy Spirit, take it and use it in our life and convict us and reprove us or encourage or whatever it may be that you will do in each life today. I pray, Father, that we'll be thankful that you still love us, and Lord, you're still working with us. We thank you again today for this great privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to bring a message which I simply have entitled Roadblocks. Roadblocks. In this scripture, I'm amazed as God goes down through this 3rd chapter and he talks about the return of the Lord and how to be scoffed at. He talks about the judgment that's going to come when the Lord returns and what's going to happen, and all of these things are reserved for judgment. If you go past verse 9, you notice again he continues on in dealing with judgment, and it's going to come and how it's going to be a fiery judgment. But I'm amazed at something, that in the middle of all of those scriptures, he puts verse 9. And he says unto us, but I want to just remind you of something I believe he's saying. Even though this is all going to happen, even though the hard times are going to come, judgment is going to happen, I want you to know something, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That God loves us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He puts that message in there. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. That in the midst of all of this, I want folks saved. I want you to come to Christ. And so this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to just preach a simple message on the subject of roadblocks that God has put up to those which are on their road to hell. Now, folks, you say, who is that, Brother Ross? Well, that's all of us. Every single person who's ever born into the family of God has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're on our way to hell unless something has happened. And God puts up a roadblock, and many of them, I believe, and of course the first one I want to speak of is the basic roadblock that God puts up to those that are on their way to hell so that they don't have to go there. And of course that roadblock is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that He loved you and me so much today that He sent His only begotten Son to die upon the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. And what a blessing that is. I mean, folks, do you understand that God put it out there and said, look, my Son has died for you, and all you have to do is by faith trust Him, receive Him as personal Savior. You become a child of God. What a roadblock that is. What a tremendous thing. In fact, it's the roadblock that God puts up. And yet multitudes today are just simply running over that roadblock, just trampling it down, right on their way to hell, and not realizing it was the love of God that put it there. Loved them so much that He sent His wonderful Son. Now, don't you want you forget in the midst of this message this morning that the great roadblock that God put up with His Son dying, being buried, and rose again for our justification. And that every single individual in this room today either gets to heaven because of the Son of God or goes to hell because they refuse to accept the Son of God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm simply saying to you, God loves you so much. And He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know Him as personal Savior. I don't care who you are, what your name is, and let me say to you, it's good news. It makes no difference what you've ever done. Jesus Christ loves you and has died for you. That simple plan of salvation that we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's not in baptism, it's not in church membership, it's not in good works, it's not in all these other things, and all those things are good. But it's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We must have our faith in Him and Him alone. And that's the roadblock that God has put up to try to keep people out of hell. And it will keep you out of hell if you'll receive God's way of salvation. Now we want to move on because that God did something else. He left us a Bible, the Word of God, to tell us about His Son, Jesus Christ. What a roadblock that is. What a wonderful thing it is that God has presented unto us and given unto us His Word to explain exactly how we could be saved and how much God loved us. I was thinking the other day, and I don't really follow His ministry a whole lot, but I once in a while hear Him on the radio, and that's Chaplain Ray. Has any of you ever heard of Chaplain Ray on the radio? You know, and I was listening the other day, and he was telling about this great project that he has out. He is sending 300,000 Bibles. Can you imagine this? 300,000 Bibles to Russia, to the prisons in Russia. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful gift to give them. There's no greater gift that can be given. Imagine that, such a project as that, is getting the Word of God into those prisons. And you know what? They're welcoming. They want them. The chaplains in those prisons are waiting for them, anxious for them to come. It's amazing, isn't it? The blessed book, the Word of God. I told in Sunday school, and I'm going to simply repeat it shortly, simply because many of you are not in the Sunday school time. But we told in Sunday school that a pastor here, a friend of mine, just here the other day was telling me that somebody in his congregation had come to him and said to him, Pastor, there's just not enough going on around here. There's not enough in our church that's going on. And he said, he looked at him and he said to him, I resent that. Do you understand that every Sunday, the Word of God is putting faithfully going forth from this place in Sunday school, in morning church service, Sunday night and Wednesday night, and there's visitations throughout the week where the Word of God goes forth, and you say nothing is going on? My dear friend, the greatest thing in the world that can go on is the Word of God be preached. I'm not saying we don't need other things in our churches and doing other things and having activities. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying to us all, the forefront of any ministry must be the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will get people saved. And that Word of God tells people about a wonderful Savior. And the Word of God becomes a roadblock on the way to hell for people to see and read and understand that they don't have to go to hell, that God loves them. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. Not only that, I believe there's another roadblock that God has put in the way of those that are on their way to hell, and that's the prayers of mothers and fathers. I realize that we could extend that thing on to friends and neighbors and all kinds of people, church people, and anybody that loves souls. But let me say to you, God has given us tremendous power in prayer. The ability to come to Him and ask things of Him, and He will answer us, He says. And of course we understand it's within the will of God that these answers are made. But we understand that God loves that sinner more than we ever will love them. And thank God that there's mothers and fathers across this land that daily are lifting up their children and friends and neighbors to the Lord in prayer and asking God to do something and save their soul. I want to encourage you this morning, don't ever quit praying. I don't care how hard it looks, how difficult it looks, like it may be hopeless at times, but don't ever forget to pray and continue to pray and ask God to do, and God will answer. Maybe not in your time or my time, but my, what roadblocks. Isn't it amazing that people have prayed for you and have prayed for me? All I know is I found out after I got saved there was people praying for Don and I. Thank God for that. Thank God that God put a roadblock on the way to hell that other people could pray for our salvation. What a wonderful thing it is. Mamas, I know how your heart breaks over wayward children, but keep praying, keep asking God. Don't ever forget that God loves you and God loves that wayward child. Keep praying, dads. Keep holding those children and friends and whoever it may be up to the Lord in prayer, and remember that's a great roadblock that God has put there on the way to hell. Don't ever forget to pray. Not only that, I believe something else that God has done. I believe that one of the roadblocks He's put on the road to hell is the church. I'm telling you something, folks. I don't think most people understand and realize the importance of the local church. It's a great, it's a lighthouse for those that are on their way to hell. It's a great lighthouse, and it's a great roadblock. It's set in their way. They have to go over it to get to hell. God has established the local church. Now, I want to tell you something. I preached a sermon one time because I got so aggravated of everything that was wrong with the church, I preached a sermon on what's right with the church. And I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot more right with the church than there is wrong. Folk remember the wrong, and they bring attention to the wrong. But let me say to you, folks, there's a whole lot right about the church. It's founded upon the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's its foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a place that Jesus has instructed to be established. It's a place where people can come and hear the Word of God. And not only that, they can get saved, but not only that, they can learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's a place to serve and go forth and teach Sunday schools and go out of this place and children's churches and ushers and Sunday and piano players and song leaders and all of those things. Did you notice our song leader this morning? You know, he came this morning and he said, "Brother Ross," he said, "I don't have a jacket. What am I going to do?" I said, "Oh, brother, you got a long sleeve shirt. It'll be all right this morning." He said, "I'll hunt one up." He went back there and got my baptism jacket. Did you notice how tight it fit on him? I noticed I was sitting back here, you know, and he's just kind of bulging in it. Did you notice that? He said, "I found it back there, Brother Ross, but I'm not going to baptize anybody this morning." But anyway, no matter what it is, it gives us a place to serve God through the local church. And the church is not perfect. No, it isn't, because it's got people like us in it. For we're very imperfect. But let me say to you, God has placed the local church in the pathway of those on the road to hell. And they're going to have to tromp all over it and refuse it, you see, if they're going to go there. So I want to tell you something. Since the day that I got saved, I've loved the local church. And I've been in churches, and I've been in the churches that are not perfect, and I've been in churches that's had troubles and tribulations and problems, but there was never a day that I did not enter those doors and come into those places to try to help it instead of try to destroy it. God wants us to be a part of the local church and to love the local church. And you see, because that's what the local church is, it's people. It isn't this building, it's people. We are the local church. And we're an important lighthouse to this community. You may not understand it all. I don't imagine I understand the depth of it. But let me say to you, this building that sets out here and the people then that come into this building to meet are a very important part of this community. And there is many of them that does not want anything to do with it, but it's still important that we send forth the light of the gospel of Christ, that one day maybe they'll see their need of Jesus and come and be saved. Or we'll go into their houses and doors and we'll find the people who's willing to hear the gospel of Jesus and be saved. You understand what I'm saying? So I believe that the Lord has placed the church on the way to hell as a roadblock for folk to come and hear the word of God and to be visited by the people, by the church, and presented with the gospel of Christ. Another thing that I believe that God has placed as a roadblock on the way to hell is a gospel preacher. Now let me say to you, it's not just a gospel preacher that stands behind the pulpit. I'm talking about you too. I realize the gospel preacher has the responsibility that stands behind his pulpit to preach the wonderful word of God. That's why God has ordained that to be. And I realize the responsibilities that go with it, but let me say to you, we're all gospel preachers when it comes to spreading the gospel of Christ. Every time you pull a track from your pocket and you hand it to somebody, you're handing to them the wonderful gospel message of Jesus Christ. The way of salvation, you are giving that to them. You're giving them an opportunity to understand that God loves them, and you are preaching through that tract to somebody. Understand? And God has placed, I believe, the preacher, because he's entrusted the preacher with the gospel message. Can you imagine this morning the responsibility that is upon this preacher's shoulders this morning? Because God has entrusted me with the pure gospel to preach it so that people might understand and might hear and be saved. I'm a roadblock on the road to hell for those that are on their way. And God has placed preachers all over this country and all over this nation, all over this world. He's placed preachers and entrusted them with the Word of God so that they might take it and preach it from their pulpits. And what a shame it is when we destroy that trust that God has put in us and we do not preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. The wonderful gospel that says there's no way that you can get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, and that means that nobody, I don't care who they are, where they are, or what they've ever done, has ever come up to the goodness of God Almighty. Nobody ever has, and nobody ever will, except His Son, the Lord Jesus. And because of His righteousness, because He was God the Son, and He lived the perfect life, and He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again, we can have His righteousness imputed to us. What a marvelous thing it is. What a wonderful gospel. Wouldn't it be a shame this morning if I got up and said to you, you can get to heaven if you just work good enough? If your life is clean enough? If it's good enough? Wouldn't that be a tragedy if I told you that? Be tragedy, because it's not true. You can't work your way to heaven. You must go through Christ. And so a preacher of the gospel is a roadblock to those on their way to hell. And let me say to you, be preachers of the Word of God. Take it forth. Give it out. Tell people about the wonderful news that Jesus loves them. Not only that, there's a roadblock on the way to hell is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know if we ever understand how wonderful it is that God sent along to us a comforter. Sent to us here after Jesus rose and went to heaven, He sent the Comforter to dwell in those who come to know Jesus and to convict of sin to those who know Him not. Thank God that there was a day back in 1966, even before that day, but thank God for that day, but God, the Holy Spirit, convicted this old sinner of sin. Thank God that He, the Holy Spirit, cared enough about me. It was the plan of God to convict me and realize that I was a sinner lost. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's a roadblock on the way to hell. Those that's on their way to hell, the Holy Spirit is convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and saying, don't go to hell. There's a better way. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Thank God for that. The Bible says also, though, of course, in Genesis, the sixth chapter, that the Holy Spirit of God will not always strive, that God will not always strive with men. Now, don't get me wrong. I would never preach a message and try to get people to realize that if you don't be careful, God's just going to cut you off. I know God loves you, and I know God will save you. But I am saying there comes a day when God quits striving. Maybe that day when He just goes ahead and takes them home. Maybe that day when they just so harden their hearts they have no desire whatsoever to be saved. I don't know how God does it. That's His business. All I know is He does it. But the Holy Spirit of God is there to convict us of sin. Listen to Him. He doesn't come and take a club and hit you over the head with it. He's that quiet, small voice that speaks to your heart about those things that are not right in your life. And I'm talking to Christians now. That sweet Holy Spirit of God simply says, that's not right, please. That's not right. You need to get this straightened out. You need to do this. You need to do that. That's not right, please. I love you. And what do? We quench Him. We will pay no attention to Him. And we won't listen to Him. But yet God, the Holy Spirit of God, is so loving to us, He just keeps knocking, wanting us to do right. And think about the unsaved, how the Holy Spirit of God is drawing them to the Father. Just drawing them to the Father. Wanting them to come and be saved. Oh, what a roadblock on the way to hell. Not only that, I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit of God does the regenerating, the washing and regenerating by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad it's Him that borns us, does the work of taking us and placing us into the body of Jesus Christ. What a work the Holy Spirit of God has, and that's what He wants to do. He wants the privilege of taking you and placing you into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to born you into the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? I know we get saved by accepting Christ, but the Holy Spirit of God does the work of regeneration, the washing and regeneration. Holy Spirit of God does that. He borns us spiritually, supernaturally, and places us into the body of Christ. It's a work that is not heard, but it's work that is done supernaturally in your heart. Isn't it wonderful what the Holy Spirit of God does for us? What a roadblock on the way to hell, folks. How much God loves us so much. He allowed God the Holy Spirit to be here with us. As a comforter, as a convictor of our sin. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I'm glad He did that, aren't you? Not only that, there's another roadblock, and I'm going to give it in just a minute. It's the roadblock of the invitation to receive Christ. How many times, I don't know how many times I have, and it doesn't make any difference, but how many times has preachers across this land stopped at the end of their message and invited people to come to Christ? An invitation that simply says, God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to give you eternal life. What an invitation. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. What a wonderful invitation. Jesus says, I stand at the door. And I know in context where that scripture is. I know He's talking to the church. But let me say to you, He's also talking to the individual. He said, I stand there knocking at your door, the heart of your door, the door of your heart, and warning you, if you just open your door, I'll come in, save you, and give you everlasting life. What a marvelous thing that is. This morning, all across this land, there's preachers standing, preaching the Word of God, and at the end of their sermon, they'll give an invitation. Oh, it'll be done all in different ways. Some will give a long invitation, some will give a short invitation, some will say certain words, and others will say other words. But it really doesn't make any difference as long as we're inviting them to come to Christ. It's not a matter of how it's done or how long it is, but it is important that we follow God's leading in those things, but that we invite them to come to Jesus. What a roadblock that is. I say to you this morning, I'm going to be giving an invitation in a morning, in just a few moments, and I want you to know how much God loves you. I want you to know that Jesus wants to save you this morning. No, I'm talking about you. God wants to save you. And that invitation is given and offered by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself for you to come unto Him and be saved. And let me say something about the invitation we give. We don't ask you to come to pay a price. It's already been paid. You don't have to come and say, okay, if I've got enough money, I'll come to Christ and I'll lay it here and I'll receive what He's got. No, it's a gift. It's already been paid. Jesus already paid it on Calvary's cross. You don't owe anything. All you have to do is receive. When I said you don't owe anything, you don't have to pay anything. You owe everything. But you don't have to pay anything. Jesus loves you. He went to the cross of Calvary and died for you. Boy, isn't that wonderful? What a tremendous... Isn't it wonderful this morning? I don't know how you feel, but I almost get goosebumps when I say, I can offer to this people a gift free. And I don't care who you are, God will accept you. Talking in the book of Romans, it talks about freely justified. The word freely there speaks of being without cause. And what it means is this. There was no reason whatsoever that God could look upon any person, I don't care who they are, and find a cause that He should save them. None of us deserve it. There's no cause in any of us in this room this morning that God could look down and say, oh boy, this guy here, he deserves it. I'm going to save him. No, no, no. It's freely given, justified freely. In other words, He simply gives it because He loves us and wants to save us. Wasn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you know that God loves you just as much this morning as He loved me? You know, God impressed my heart one day, and I was reading through the Scriptures, and I don't remember whether I was exactly having a pity party or not. I could have had, because I have those once in a while. I don't remember the situation, but I remember I was just kind of feeling down. The impression came upon me because I was reading through the book of Acts, and I was studying the Apostle Paul and thinking about him. And the impression came to me was this. I love you as much as I love the Apostle Paul. I want to tell you something. That's wonderful. Now, I didn't say I'd done everything the Apostle Paul done. I didn't say I was used like the Apostle Paul. He said, I love you as much as I love the Apostle Paul. It took the same love to save Bob Ross that it took to save Saul of Tarsus. Amen? Well, that's wonderful. You see, that's the invitation I can give to you this morning. I don't care who you are, what you've done. It makes no difference. God loves you and wants to save you. And the invitation is there for you to be saved, be born into the family of God. And then just think what that does. That delivers us from the power of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Here's where we was, power of darkness. Satan had complete control. We belong not to God. We get saved, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He takes us and places us into the kingdom of the Son of God. Amen. Now, if you can get any better than that, you tell me about it. God just says, I'll transplant you over into the kingdom of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Those are roadblocks that God has set up and placed in your path. I'm sure there's more. But those are roadblocks that God says, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be saved.